Well, we praise the Lord for this Easter Sunday, and we're thankful to God that all of you are here to worship with us today. A beautiful Easter Sunday here in Derricks, Arkansas. This is Easter, and Jesus arose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. He appeared to his disciples over a period of days, and then went back up into heaven. Before he went back up into heaven, he gathered his disciples, and he said to them, "Go ye therefore into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age." Well, that was over 2,000 years ago, near Jerusalem, Israel. And during these 2,000 years, believers in Jesus have gone throughout the world telling the good news. Jesus lives. Christ is alive. Salvation is in Him. And so we're real thrilled today that we have two of our children who have decided to follow Jesus. They have given their heart to Christ, and they are now being obedient to Him in following in baptism. First of all, Trayton Alexander. Trayton, come on down here. Tell us how old you are.
I'm nine.
9 years old. Your birthday is?
September 2nd.
September the 2nd. He was 9 years of age. And Trayton, you have asked the Lord to come into your heart. Do you believe that He did? And today you're being baptized to tell all of us and the world that Jesus is your Savior. Is that right? I want everyone that's with Trayton to stand. I know a whole bunch of you are, and I want him to see all of you out there. If you're with Trayton, you just go ahead and stand. How wonderful. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Thank you all so much. You may be seated. Trayton, because you have asked the Lord to come into your heart and to be your Savior, and with the authority of this New Testament church, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like as you died with Christ in baptism, so you've been raised to walk in newness of life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. A fine young man, and we love to see these children come to Christ and follow Him. That way they have their entire life to serve Him and to praise His name. Now we have a young lady named Ashlyn Deer, and she's a deer to everyone who knows her. Ashlyn, how old are you? 9 years old too. My, you've got your, hopefully a long life to live for Jesus. And Ashlyn actually asked Jesus to come into her heart in Vacation Bible School, I believe, didn't you? This past Vacation Bible School, I was in the class helping them to understand. And now she's being baptized to say to the world that Jesus lives in her heart. All those with Ashlyn, would you stand? And if you're with her, you're our special guest. Oh, how wonderful. Give them a hand, too. Praise the Lord for you. You may be seated. Okay, Ashlyn, you believe that Jesus is living in your heart today, and you're being obedient to Him by being baptized, aren't you? Ashlyn, because of your faith in Christ, and with the authority of this New Testament church, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like as you died with Christ in baptism, so you shall be raised to walk in newness of life. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice today that these two young people have been wise enough to follow you, to believe in you, because you are God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us today in this Easter service. And Father, if there are others out here who desire to be saved, help them to know they could be saved today. If there are those who desire to be baptized, they could let us know that today. And I pray that your will might be done in our lives as we sing praises to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon Him. One final breath He gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The war on hell forever broken. The ground began to shake.
beautiful song, Julia. I never heard that, but now I can't say that because I have heard it now after you sang. And ladies, your wonderful song, Resurrection Morn, was absolutely wonderful. Thank you all for sharing with us. Well, I've got about 10 minutes for 12. Amen. We've got 155 folks here today, and that's wonderful. We're happy that all of you could come on this Easter Sunday morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28, and Matthew 28, and we're going to look at the passage verses 1 through 10. It is that first, the story of the resurrection. I was thinking as these ladies were singing for us today, women were the first ones to share the word that Jesus had come back to life, had arisen from the dead. Hadn't it been for those ladies, we might not have ever heard it. But anyway, they were there. They were the ones who went out and began to witness and to testify, and those guys finally got it, but the women did that. Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, there's one of those ladies. By the way, there's a movie coming out shortly called Mary Magdalene. It'll be in all the theaters. I don't know what it'll be. Well, it'll be about Mary Magdalene, won't it? Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre or the grave or the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brothers that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. There are three imperatives here in this passage. Just sort of leap out at us as we're reading these 10 verses. First of all, these ladies were encouraged to believe. You'll notice that in verse 6. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And they said, as he said, he has arisen from the dead. These women were urged to share the good news about Jesus. Look in verse 7. They said, the angel said, go quickly and tell his disciples. Don't stop. Don't tarry. Go quickly and tell his disciples. And then in the third place, they're urged to rejoice. You see in verse 8, they came to the grave with fear and great joy, but they ran, and there Jesus said, All hail. And that word means, Oh joy, rejoice. Then let's turn to Mark chapter 16 and look at Mark's account. This is what Matthew said about the resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, we have Mark's account. And of course, Mark wrote his before Matthew did his. We think that's the order. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came unto the grave at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who's going to roll the stone away for us from the door of the grave?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, because it was a big, heavy, great stone. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were amazed. And he said unto them, "Be not amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Simon Peter." Make a note of that. "Go your way, tell the disciples, and be sure to tell Simon Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the grave. They trembled, they were amazed. Neither said they anything to anybody, because they were scared to death. That's my adding those words. Now when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told these who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. There's several things that follow since we are certain that Jesus arose from the dead. First of all, Jesus is not just a figure in a book. That's very important for us to understand. He is a living presence. You study the Bible, you read the Bible, you meditate upon the Bible so that you can get to meet Jesus. Secondly, Jesus is not a memory. He is a living presence. He's not just someone to talk about and think about and discuss, but he's someone to meet. And these two young people who were baptized today have testified to us that they have met him. They know some things about him. As they grow up, they will get to know more and more and more about him, but they are saying they have actually met Jesus. In the third place, the Christian life is not the life of one who knows about Jesus, but one who knows him. And there's a difference. The most humble, uneducated person who really knows Jesus is greater than all the scholars of the world. Some of you would fit, and us would fit, into that category. I was thinking about scholars and smart, wise people. Yesterday, they had the funeral service for this young man, Stephen Hawking. Did you all watch the movie, The Theory of Everything? I loved it. I thought that was a wonderful motion picture. It really did, and it got a lot of honors. Stephen Hawking, this is over in London, it was into this morning's paper, the Texarkana Gazette. The life of celebrated physicist and author Stephen Hawking was celebrated yesterday in Cambridge. Hundreds of well-wishers were there. There was a burst of applause outside St. Mary the Great Church when the hearse arrived. Stephen Hawking was 76. 1 year younger than me. I'm 77. The bells of the church there rang 76 times, one for each year of Stephen Hawking's remarkable life. He was remembered as a brave man who triumphed over, well, he had Lou Gehrig's disease. He's had it for a long time. When he contacted the disease, he was about 20. So he lived to be 76, So let me see. Now, how many years is that, Madonna? Or April? Yeah. He lived, they thought he would die just in a year or two. But he beat the odds. One of the most, the wisest, smartest, most intelligent men. You've been reading about him through the years. I know that you have, like me. And it's just been an inspiration to see a young man like this overcome great and terrible odds. His mind was so sharp. I mean, the movie's entitled The Theory of Everything, and probably many of you have seen that. And there were about 500 guests attending the funeral, including the ones who were in the movie. Flags were lowered to half-mast in many parts of Cambridge to pay tribute to him. The service was officiated over by Reverend the preacher, Callie Hammond, Dean of Cambridge. Hawkins was a fellow student there, Cambridge, for 52 years. He was known for his research into black holes and other phenomena. He'll be cremated at a later date, and his ashes are to be placed in London's Westminster Abbey. And Anne and I have been there. That was quite an experience. Near the remains of fellow scientist Isaac Newton. The reason I mention this, and I am certainly not disparaging such a brave, wise man, who would I to be able to say very much negatively about him? Well, I don't hardly know anything about black holes at all. I don't even know how to tell you what a black hole is if you ask me. And all the theory of the world. But the reason I mention that is, all of his life, apparently, Stephen did not believe in God. And all of us thought that maybe when he got real sick, that somehow he would come to a place, maybe near the end of his life, when he would become a believer in God. He never did. I know I had been praying, and many others around the world too, that somehow before he died, he would make a profession that I've been wrong all these years. I've been an atheist. I see no need for God. What his theory was, of course, that in other generations and ages of man, that we needed God. But now that we're so scientifically wise and intelligent, we no longer need to lean upon a crutch like God really is. So apparently, and as far as I know, and unless it comes out later that he did not make any kind of a profession of faith. He simply died believing there is not a God. That makes me very sad. It makes me very sad. I don't want anybody to die without God, without believing in God. Some of you all may be like Stephen Hawking. You have come to get so wise in your own life, or maybe so involved in things of the world and so worldly wise that you see no need for God. I do believe there are a lot of what I call practical atheists. Many of them go to church, even go to Sunday school, claim to read their Bible. But the way they live shows they don't really believe in God. And so they're, for practical purposes, an atheist. Well, that's a bad thing too, isn't it? I hope that you're not like that. Some of you through the years may have gotten to the place where you still claim that you do, but everyone around you knows that you don't, because your life testifies you do not believe in God. You do not believe in Jesus. You never talk about Him. You never tell others about Him. You're not identified with His people in the church. And so even though you say, oh, yes, I am, everyone, probably your wife or your husband, your children all know that you really are as bad off as Stephen Hawking. You do not believe in God. What a sad and a terrible thing that is. We have a friend in Nashville. Many of us know Barry Wright. Christine back yonder. Christine worked with him for years. Why, she's always been a fan of Barry. And so about 5 years ago or so, he got Lou Gehrig's disease. Matter of fact, he played the piano for us 5 years ago or 6 years ago when we had our layman's revival. Barry played the piano. He didn't have any sign of Lou Gehrig's disease. He didn't have any indication this was coming into his life. He's one of the best piano players I've ever heard, best singers I've ever heard. Loved the Lord so very much, you may remember. And David Riggs, the guy that works for SWEPCO, got up and led the singing for us the whole week of revival. It was a wonderful time. And some of you all kind of trace your renewal of faith back to that meeting that we had with those laymen from Nashville First Baptist. But one day, Barry got Lou Gehrig's disease. And right now, he is beating the odds too. He survived longer. We thought he wouldn't live 2 years. Now it's been 3 or 4 or maybe 5. And Ann and I went to visit him last week, and he was sitting up there in that chair, still able to speak some. He has all kinds of machines. And yet, the one thing that I admire is Barry seems to have never lost any of his faith. Amen? I mean, you talk to him now, he is as strong. His faith in Christ is as strong and vigorous as it ever was. And people who come to visit him hear him testify of his faith in Christ. So you have the two men on opposite places. You have Stephen Hawking, one of the smartest men, scientist in the world who's ever lived. You have Barry Wright. He's pretty smart. I wouldn't put him in a category with myself. A very wise and intelligent man. One had faith and one did not. One believed and one has not believed. It sort of reminds me of on the cross of Calvary, doesn't it, you? Jesus was dying on the cross. On one side there was a man. On the other side there was a man. They're called the two malefactors, or thieves, or criminals is what they were. They were dying. They had been sentenced for capital punishment. They had crimes which they deserved to die for committing. One of the guys just kept crying out, "Oh, if you're really the Savior of the world, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us and get us down off of this cross." And he kept on, the Bible says, cursing and ridiculing. The other thief, on the other hand, he was one of those guys like Barry. He was a believer. And he looked over and he said to the other thief, "You need to be quiet. You need to be, you're crazy. What you're saying is ridiculous. We deserve what we're getting. We deserve to die here on this cross. But this man in the middle, he don't deserve it. He hadn't done anything wrong." And we believe that is true, do we not? He was the innocent one bearing the sins of the world. And that thief said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And that's when Jesus uttered that second word that I've been talking about the last several weeks. The second word from the cross, "Verily today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, I know many of us do not believe in deathbed confessions. I do. That looks like the thief on the cross was on his deathbed. He didn't have any way to get down off the cross. He couldn't go to church. He couldn't do witnessing. He couldn't give his money. He couldn't do all these good things. He was just a man dying on the cross beside Jesus. And all he did was believe. And he went to paradise before the day was over with Jesus Christ. The other man was lost and went to the other place and apparently is still there today. And you see, it would have been like Stephen Hawking. I hate to even talk about him. So sad, but thinking about him. But in that last moment, I don't know where he was. He may have been probably in the hospital. He could have called, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And regardless of all the things he had said and done before, that wouldn't have counted, because Jesus would have said to the thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise. I hope that none of us will wait till our deathbed experience. Boy, you never know whether you're going to have one or not. We've had a lot of things happen around here lately, young people and older people as well, haven't we? And they didn't know their day was coming. They didn't know death was coming. They didn't know that would be the last day of their life. So you can't count on that. As I like to say as a farm boy, you can't bet on that because you have no way to know when your time will come. Jesus lives, and because He lives, you can have eternal life. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this lesson today, for this wonderful scripture that we read. And I pray, dear Father, that if there's anyone here who needs to make a decision for You, they'll do it today. They won't wait until tonight or next Sunday, but they'll do it today, because today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that as Your Holy Spirit leads us and moves among us and works within us, that if anyone needs to join the church, they'll come and let us know. Or someone needs to be baptized and desires to be, they'll let us know. Or maybe someone wants to come and just repent of their sin as a Christian and rededicate their life and ask the church to pray for them. I pray they'll do that. Lord, have Your way in this time of invitation today. We pray it in Your precious name. Amen. Amen.